Welcome back to Farm Talk. Mick Kerr here. And a couple of weeks ago, visiting with Dave Carter, Executive Director, National Bison, and he knows how to say bison. he was leaving Florida, heading to Indianapolis. Dave, good to see you again.
It's great to visit with you, Mick.
You were on the way to the FFA convention, and I understand there was a lot of interest in bison from the young FFA folks.
Oh, this is probably our 10th or 12th year of being at FFA, and to me it's always one of the highlights of the year, Mick. It's, you've got 60,000 kids that are starting to embark on their career, and we hope that it's a career in agriculture, and so many of them came by our booth with lots of questions about bison, about, you know, the various parts of our business, but we're also really pleased. We had more than 100 ag advisors come by and sign up for a series of webinars we're going to be doing about how you can introduce bison into the classroom and how we can connect students and ag advisors with local producers. And so we've got a lot of follow-up work to do now with all of the interest that we had expressed at the FFA convention.
I understand you had a little science show and tell, real hands-on learning tool there.
Well, we've got something, we call him Ernie, and one of our members in Montana had about a 17-year-old bison bull that he had to put down, and so we had a taxidermy friend that took the left side and taxidermied, but the right side is, he boiled down the bones and reassembled them and has all of the skeletal structure there, and he had that on a stand that we could wheel around and turn about, and that was a real magnet for bringing people by our booth, and it's amazing how many of those kids can name every one of those bones on that skeleton.
Wow, super. Now tell us about the webinars coming up.
Well, it's a simple, it's kind of a Bison 101. We've done a series of what we call Bison Advantage workshops around the country for producers or prospective producers to introduce them to the business, but this is really designed to be outreach to those ag advisors, and here's some simple ways that you can begin to introduce bison into your livestock or animal science components into the classroom. And as you do that, here's how you can connect with a local producer. So that way, if you're talking about bison and the kids raise their hands and it's something that you're not familiar with, you've got an active producer there standing with you to help you facilitate that class. And those are very important things to us. One of the great assets that we have in our business, Mick, is that the folks that have been in it love to help newcomers get started. And I equate that to the aspect that even the people who have been in bison for 30 years didn't grow up with mom and dad raising bison. So they remember coming in as newcomers, and they remember the mistakes that they made. And one guy told me, he says, I didn't use up all the mistakes. I left plenty behind for the others to make, so they don't need to make mine. And that's the attitude that our folks have when they work with those ag advisors, is let's help those kids along.
Getting started in agriculture, farming is just an incredible challenge, but one of the ways that kids are going back to the farm or getting involved in agriculture is small-scale animal feeding. Getting a bison operation going, is that just as challenging or is that easier?
Well, it's yes and no. It's a little more challenging from some standpoints, but over the long term, it's much easier. We always say bison are a little harder to handle, but a lot easier to raise. And so we go through it very quickly. Yes, you have to have good fences, but they don't have to be Fort Knox. Your stocking rates are about the same as they are for cattle, according to USDA. You'll have some investment in handling facilities, but you'll save that because you'll never build another loafing shed and forget about all that heavy, expensive equipment that you need to have. But then when you get those components put together, the bison advantage for us is that even though that female bison doesn't give you her first calf until she's 3 years old, you're going to get about twice as many calves out of her over the course of her life because they're long-lived. They're a low-maintenance animal, so if you're a young producer and you've got an off-farm job, well, don't worry about castrating them or dehorning them or branding them. Those are things that we don't do in our business. And then when I've heard that maybe North Dakota gets a blizzard once every 5 years or so, but when that rare occasion happens, you get to sit inside and drink some coffee the next morning because those animals don't need you to be out there taking care of them, just as they don't need you out there when they're calving. Just leave them alone. And so, those are the things that we really promote to producers as a way to get started in the business, that not labor intensive. You got to be on top of your game. You got to know what you're doing, but you don't have to be out there every day.
That species has survived a lot more weather challenges than the human species.
There isn't anything Mother Nature's going to throw at them that they haven't seen for the last 5,000 years. So we've learned that, sometimes the less we do, the better off we are.
are bison numbers in the U.S. stable, growing? Where are we at?
Well, we're very anxious for the next Census of Agriculture to come out here that USDA compiled on the 2017 numbers. The numbers are growing. We estimate that the herd in North America is about 400,000 animals. We'd love to see it get to 1 million animals over the next couple of decades. In fact, we have a campaign that we call Bison 1 Million. But for us to do that, we've got to continue to build our relationship with the consumers out there. And so we have a very strong message. In fact, Wednesdays, we call them Bison Hump Days, the ways for people to encourage them to eat bison. But the message is that if you eat bison, you're helping to restore bison. And so, you know, that's been very successful for us. We're very strong and stable. Our numbers are growing, and we see a bright future ahead for our business.
Visiting with Dave Carter, Executive Director, National Bison. Part of the education of consumers is the issue with labeling and fake meat and, you know, synthetic meat. But you have a unique challenge in the bison restaurant and retail industry.
Yes, we've got a headache that's come up here in the last year or so. It first started off in pet food that we noticed that here were some products that were just being labeled as containing buffalo. And as we began to look into it, well, it's buffalo, it's water buffalo. It's imported water buffalo meat, but sometimes it's put into packaging that's got pictures of bison out there, and it's very deceptive. And then this midsummer, we started noticing that there's a few retail chains that started carrying just ground natural buffalo. And as we began to look at that and trace it back, sure enough, that was not North American bison. That was water buffalo being brought in from Australia and Asia and being just packaged on that. So we filed a complaint with the FDA and USDA. Senator Hoeven, Senator Heitkamp were very helpful, and they were among five senators that signed a letter that went down to FDA and USDA about a week ago to encourage them to get on top of this and make sure that if something's come in as water buffalo, it should be labeled as water buffalo and not just buffalo. Because here in the U.S., when we think about buffalo, it's Buffalo Bill, it's the Buffalo Nickel, you know, so we don't want our consumers getting buffaloed, let's put it that way.
All righty. And thanks to Senator Hoeven, National Bison Day has come and gone. That was last Saturday.
And Senator Hoeven has always been our champion on that. He was the lead sponsor on getting bison designated as the national mammal, and every year he carries the resolution. We can't get it as a standing resolution. The Senate rules don't allow that, so every year Senator Hoeven circulates a resolution that the first Saturday in November is National Bison Day. And gosh, we had events at zoos and parks and all kinds of public preserves all across the country. We had a lot of ranchers doing farm days, but gosh, they're not even done, because on Capitol Hill here next Tuesday night, they're going to be doing, when everybody gets back from to Washington, D.C., they're doing a reception for National Bison Day right up on Capitol Hill.
Awesome. All right. Now, you've got an event coming up this summer in North Dakota. Tell everybody about it.
Oh, we're really excited. We move our summer conference around every year, and this next July, right after the 4th of July, it's going to be in Bismarck, North Dakota. And the North Dakota Buffalo Association, along with the National Buffalo Museum in Jamestown, have been working together to put together a great program for us. It's going to be a lot of hands-on learning. We're going to be learning from the experts up in North Dakota, bringing in a lot of speakers. But we're going to have some fun, too. I guess we're even going to be doing a riverboat cruise down the Missouri there in Bismarck. So it's just a great opportunity for us to get up and see how the producers in various parts of the country operate and how they succeed. And we're really excited to see how our friends in North Dakota are doing this summer.
And the dates on that, do you have that?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that, but I believe it's the 7th through the 10th of July. So it's right after the 4th of July.
Which seems like a long ways away, but it's going to be here before we know it.
It comes up on us very, very quickly.
Yeah, for sure. All righty, Dave Carter, Executive Director, National Bison Association. Thank you very much for the work you do. Always good to visit with you.
Thank you, Mick. Great to talk with you as well.
A visit we had with Dave Carter back in early November here on Farm Talk at the Farm Broadcasters Gathering down in Kansas City.